It's 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, July 16th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a new tribal conservation district in South Central Alaska will help 7 local tribes get assistance with agriculture and mariculture. But first, the city of Soldotna will spend a little over $1 million on major projects this budget year. That's after city council members signed off on the spending plan earlier this month. The council decides which projects it will fund at the beginning of each fiscal year, which starts on July 1st. This year, the city's list includes 5 projects. The most expensive item on the list is just under $500,000 for early stage work toward improving the ice rink at the Soldotna Regional Sports Complex. The money would pay for preliminary engineering and design documents for replacement of the rink's refrigeration system. Currently, the city uses Freon to control the temperature of the ice, but the federal government outlawed manufacturing and importing that material effective in 2020. Last year, the council okayed about $250,000 for a sort of band-aid for the rink's aging system. Among other things, Public Works Director Kyle Cornelis says the work funded by the council will analyze the cost of upgrading the dasher boards and fully replacing the floor, including possibly making the rink smaller, from its traditional Olympic size to the size used by the National Hockey League. That's a difference of about 220 square meters.
At the conclusion of that, we'll actually have a more refined professional cost estimate for the actual cost to do the construction phase. Right now, we've got a kind of a ROM rough order of magnitude estimate, which is not a number that we'd be prepared to move forward with in any confidence.
Cornelis says the city consulted with the Fairbanks North Star Borough, which recently made similar upgrades to its Carlson Center. The consulting group that helped upgrade the Fairbanks rink said Soldotna should expect to spend between $8 and $9 million upgrading the rink over the next 3 to 5 years. But preliminary ice rink work is not the only project the council is funding this year. The city will also spend $300,000 repairing a storm drain and making associated repairs near Soldotna High School. That's on top of $90,000 for master planning for city-owned property along Kalifornsky Beach Road, $125,000 for development of a new strategic plan for the city, and $85,000 to expand the columbarium at the city cemetery. Cornelis says the K-Beach Corridor, particularly near the city's Centennial Park, Soldotna Fieldhouse, and baseball fields, is becoming increasingly busy.
We want to deliberately develop that area, and to do so, we need to have a master plan and have a better understanding of what impacts there are to development there, and what type of responsible development should we be looking at.
The money approved by the council only covers spending through the end of June 2027. Council members also approved a 5-year planning document for city projects, but it will fund each year individually as it comes up. Processors are paying more for commercial salmon this year than in recent years. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, it has to do with international markets.
An early season indicator of how salmon prices will go is Bristol Bay's sockeye fishery, which opened in June. It's the largest harvest of sockeye in the world. The region's main processor, Silver Bay Seafoods, announced in an email to fishermen a base price of $1.60 per pound. That's 30 cents higher than last year and 80 cents more than the year before that. Silver Bay wouldn't comment on Southeast prices, but talk on the dock says it's higher for all species. Sockeye are $3 a pound and chums are over a dollar. Simon Marks is with McKinley Research Group, which tracks Alaska's commercial fishing economy.
4 main categories that we look at are current year harvest, inventory from past years, competing species supply, and demand.
Some of the higher pricing comes from supply and demand, and the global supply of salmon is down for most species. Sockeye supplies are expected to be down by 15% compared to the 5-year average. A large reason is this season's Bristol Bay sockeye harvest is expected to be down because the run is smaller.
The forecast is driven largely by a 21% drop in Bristol Bay.
Alaska's chum harvests are expected to be a bit lower than the 5-year average, but Mark says the global supply is projected to drop by 26% from the 5-year average.
We've watched the Japanese harvest decline pretty significantly over the past 5 years, and expected harvests this year are going to be significantly worse than we've seen in the past. So that is a large part of the market that we are hoping to fill.
Many market variables affect how much fishermen are paid. Most of Alaska's salmon is exported. Some is processed overseas and returned to U.S. markets, and that supply can be affected by tariffs. International markets shifted in 2022 when the war in Ukraine began, and the Biden administration started banning seafood imported from Russia. Last year, the Trump administration started using tariffs for international negotiations. Sam Friedman, also with the McKinley Research Group, says besides China, most other countries aren't imposing their own tariffs, but they could. And that would reduce the value of Alaska fish.
This potential for retaliatory tariffs really matters because so much of Alaska seafood is exported, and if foreign countries increase the taxes on U.S. Origin seafood, it makes those products less competitive in those markets.
And those international markets are massive compared to Alaska's. Alaska's wild salmon harvests account for only about 7% of the world's total supply. The state's biggest competitor is farmed salmon, especially from Norway and Chile. And that's a variable that will be hard to change.
World aquaculture tends to grow steadily every year, and so that Alaska's share of the pie, that wild harvest share of the pie, tends to get smaller every year, and that's just part of the reality of selling seafood.
Of course, the cost of fishing is higher too. Diesel, which fuels most commercial boats, is averaging between $5 and $6 a gallon statewide. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And finally, a group of tribes in South Central Alaska partnered with a federal agency last month as part of an effort to advance agriculture and mariculture projects. Aliona Niden with the Alaska Desk has more.
The Chukotka Regional Resource Commission is a nonprofit that represents seven tribes in the Chukotka region: Chiniga, Nanwalik, Port Graham, Tititlik, Valdese, Eyak in Cordova, and Ktuchuk in Seward. Last month, the consortium signed an agreement to establish the Chukotka Region Tribal Conservation District. It's a partnership with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resource Conservation Service, or NRCS. Carolyn Spencer is the Environmental Director for the Tribal Consortium.
Specifically for us, partnering with NRCS in this way helps us access funding for mariculture development as well as some of the agricultural streams that we're trying to work on.
Tribal conservation districts are entities across Alaska and the country created to manage natural resources on native lands with technical and financial assistance from the federal government. Jackie Craigle is the acting state tribal liaison for the program. She says these partnerships foster communication between tribes and help with work on specific projects.
For example, there's been a couple of culvert replacements to support fish passage and salmon habitat. We have different infrastructure opportunities for community gardens for food sovereignty, such as seasonal high tunnels, low tunnels, and then different irrigation systems.
The seven tribes in the Chukotka Regional Resource Commission are spread out across Prince William Sound and the lower Cook Inlet areas. Spencer says the tribes already use innovative approaches when it comes to food sovereignty. For example, through a mariculture operation in Seward that cultivates shellfish and kelp.
A lot of our tribes have interest in hydroponics. They're already growing throughout the season. They want high tunnels. They want ways to access healthy food in their backyard without having to pay the shipping costs because they're so remote.
The tribes started to form the conservation district back in 2019, but the COVID-19 pandemic put a pause on the work. Now that the agreement is finalized and signed, one project Spencer says the partnership might make easier is high tunnel construction in Port Graham. That's a covered structure that traps solar heat for growing vegetables. She says the USDA team has experience with projects like this and can assess the land and fund the delivery of the tunnel.
And then it's up to the tribe to construct it as well as then operate it.
Spencer says the tribes hope the partnership will also help get resources from one community to another to assist with food production. She says that forming a conservation district will also help tribes collaborate with other communities that might be working on similar projects. The USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service has faced challenges in the last year and a half with staff cuts and grant cancellations. But Craigle with the program says she doesn't have any concerns with their ability to provide technical or financial assistance. And Spencer says that for her consortium, the partnership would only provide a portion of the funding, and they have other avenues to bring their projects to life. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naidin.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Angela Denning in Petersburg and from Aliona Naidin in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in.